it downfield. Intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15. Cuts right back to the 20. Looking for a block up to the 30. And drag down there.
Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline, and it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Golzine takes the snap.
Pass
intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul, and he runs it in for the touchdown.
And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, the 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, Paul Dottino.
Good morning, everybody. Live from the Giants Quest Diagnostic Facility in East Rutherford, New Jersey. This is Big Blue Kickoff Live. I'm Paul Dottino as we prepare for another wonderful show of Giants football here from the facility. And you know what, folks? Today's question goes right to the heart of the matter. You know, we've been doing 20 questions till the 20 days till training camp opens. And indeed, today's question is, what do you think the starting offensive line is going to be week one against the Detroit Lions on September the 8th? And you know, folks, that is a subject that is near and dear to my heart. It has been, well, not only for months, but for a few years now, as the Giants try to rebuild that offensive line. Who do you think the Giants offensive line is going to be starting on September 8th, opening night in Detroit against the Lions? Paul Dottino here with you. John Schmelke is getting married, by the way, tomorrow. Let's get that in. I don't know if Lance has talked about that the last couple of shows as he's been into substitute. John is going to be away for just a little bit as he takes care of some things with his bride. And so, John, just all the best. Real happy for you guys, and have a great time. We're holding down the fort just fine until the Giants get things kicked off on July 21st when they report for training camp. The 22nd, the first practice. That official schedule, by the way, not out yet. It will be up on Giants.com as soon as it is totally finalized. The coach has some final details he wants to go through. Remember, the Giants have 5 preseason games this year, including the Hall of Fame game against the Buffalo Bills on August 3rd in Canton. And so there's some tricky things he's trying to work through. Once everything is absolutely in stone and finalized, we will get that to you on Giants.com, and you guys can make plans to come out here to the Quest Diagnostic Center and watch the Giants practice during training camp. Our number is 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, or, of course, hit us up on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. Yes, indeed, hit us up on Twitter. I know that's a very odd thing for me to say, but, indeed, that's what I'm saying. We'll get a Nike 5 in, I think, Dan, after the show is over. Can't do one now. We got a show to do. We're going to be here for about the next hour and talk Giants football with you. Now, obviously, when talking about the offensive line, and we've done this now for many, many months, the real gamble here as you start putting things together is the medical situation of this line. You've got Will Beatty with his leg. You've got Chris Snee with his elbow. You've got J.D. Walton coming off of what was a broken ankle a year ago. But apparently he seems to be fine during the early spring and summer. He's out there every practice doing what he does. But you don't know. So 3 guys having medical problems, or at least issues, if not problems. You pretty much know Jeff Schwartz is the left tackle, so that's a gimme. Okay, in fact, I'm going to say that's the one gimme you have. Jeff Schwartz is the Giants' starting left tackle. I mean, left guard. Left guard. I said tackle. Bad move by me. See, I'm just so discombobulated by this line. Jeff Schwartz is the starting left guard. We know that. But we really don't know who the left tackle is. We really don't know about the right guard. We're pretty sure about the center. And we know that Justin Pugh is going to start, we believe, at right tackle. There's an outside chance, if the Giants get really desperate and they can't find things working out along the left side, that they may have to flop Pugh to the left tackle spot. Now, Coach Pat Flaherty, the offensive line coach, has already said they do not want to do that. That is not in their plans. But I ask you this, folks. If you were the Giants and Will Beatty is not medically ready to go, would you take a chance at left tackle and start either James Brewer or Charlie Brown? Charlie Brown right now is running ahead of James Brewer on the depth chart by virtue of what we saw at OTAs and then specifically at minicamp. And I will tell you, the good news is JPP looks great. The bad news is he looked great at the expense of Charlie Brown throughout the course of minicamp. So, are you comfortable with that? If the Giants have to go that way, or do you flop Justin Pugh over to left tackle and then use one of those other guys on the right side because they're not protecting Eli Manning's blind side? Or, and I throw this out as a wild card, folks, because I believe it is a real possibility, is the guy you want there not even on the roster? Is there somebody who's going to get cut in the next couple of months that will be worthy of coming in and taking snaps at one of those offensive line positions, specifically left tackle, if Will Beatty is not ready? Is there a mystery guy out there? I submit to you that is a real possibility. So, again, the question of the day: configure the Giants' starting offensive line September 8th against the Detroit Lions. 201-939-4513, your hashtag Giants chat. Gedalia in New Jersey, you are first up on the program. Hello.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Hey, what do you have to say? Does it make it harder this preseason that the Giants have five preseason games?
Harder. Harder in what way?
The fact that normally you play four preseason games, so you rest your quarterback the last game or whatever, you rest the players usually. Now you know you have an extra game, you got to work a little harder.
So you're saying harder physically on the players. Is that the premise?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go the other way, and I'm going to say that mentally this is the best thing that could have happened to them. Tom Coughlin has said, we will embrace the opportunity of having five preseason games, especially because half of this team is going to be new by the time you look at the finalized roster, especially on offense. So many moving parts along that offensive line, and obviously you know there's a new offensive coordinator in here, and they've been trying to install an entirely new playbook throughout the course of the offseason. To me, there is no better time to have the fifth game, the Hall of Fame preseason game, than when you are installing a new coordinator with a new playbook. Other than if you have a new head coach. that would be another step further. But when you're putting in a new hierarchy, nothing could be better than to having that fifth preseason game, at least in my opinion. I agree with Coach Coughlin. I embrace that opportunity. And I'll tell you what, as a beat guy, I want to see these guys. I am so interested, Gedalia, in the competition that the Giants are going to have at so many positions. And, you know, it's so easy for some folks to get lost in the competition for a starting job. But there's a lot of competition here for backup jobs that I am very interested in and very curious about. The back end of the wide receivers, the back end of the defensive tackles, the back end of the secondary. These are going to be really, really fun battles to watch. And so I want that fifth preseason game.
Right. Also, another thing is you also have to start earlier getting ready for that first preseason game. Does that make training camp shorter?
Well, no. Training camp for the Giants, instead of opening up on typically like the 25th or the 26th, somewhere in that area, they're going to have to report now on the 21st. See,
the deal is
the NFL with the CBA with the players has a rule that it's 15 days before the first preseason game is the first day you're allowed to have the guys report to campus. And so by addition of the fifth preseason game, the Giants were allowed to get their reporting date pushed up by approximately 6 days or so, because the game is Sunday night on August the 3rd. So their next preseason game is August 9th against the Steelers, so that's 6 days there where they were able to push training camp backwards, so to speak, or forwards, whatever you prefer, to get the guys in 6 days earlier because they have the Bills game.
All right. Thank you for taking...
No problem. Glad to talk to you. 201-939-4513. Phone lines are open. Hashtag Giants Chat. Paul Tatino with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Now, interesting in that I believe Nile, our director here of our internet division at the Giants, has asked that we do, you know, these 20 questions leading into the 20 days up to the start of training camp. And so today's question is about, again, the starting offensive line. Who are going to be the starting five when the Giants open the season against the Detroit Lions? But there are going to be a bunch of other questions on other days as Lance Meadow and I continue to rotate hosting while John's away. Now, I'm going to give you a little preview, folks, because on Monday, after we get back from the weekend, and I certainly hope you enjoy yourselves, we're going to ask you about the kick returners. But that's not for today. You see, I'm cheating here. I'm giving you guys a tip, a little hint as to what to expect coming up on Monday. Most hosts won't do that. They're going to wait till the end of the show, and they're going to tell you, okay, see you next time, and maybe we'll tell you what's coming up. I'm actually going to tell you, because part of the reason is I want you to be able to think about your questions, think about your thoughts, analyze it for a little while. As Anita likes to say, marinate in it. That's not a comfortable word for me. You know why? Because I think of being a steak on a stove. And I don't know if I want to be a steak on a stove in any event, or a piece of chicken on top of the kitchen counter. In any event, we're going to get to the primary kick returners on Monday. But today's question is about the starting offensive line. Now, a couple things that I want to address here that I haven't had a chance to talk the last few days about this division. And we all know that the Redskins, Eagles, Giants, you know, they're obviously arch rivals to the 10th degree. There's a tremendous amount of, how do I put this delicately? Bad blood? I don't know if bad, there's heat between the teams. How about that? There's heat between these teams. And I've had a bunch of fans ask me, Giants fans, believe it or not, ask me, how do you feel about the Redskins' name? Now, I will only say this to you. Whatever the league decides, I'm going to abide by. I'm not going to go around calling them the Washington Footballs or the Washingtons. They are still the Washington Redskins. I will call them the Washington Redskins. I do not mean any offense to anybody by that. I appreciate that to some people it is offensive. But I have to tell you, while the NFL is sanctioning the name, I can't just call them the Washingtons. So unlike some folks, and I appreciate the fact that, you know, you don't want to use it. Again, I'm not looking to offend anybody either. But right now, that is the name of the team. And so Giants fans have been asking me, well, you know, like what happens if this is such a controversy when the Giants play the Redskins? What do you do? Folks, again, I'm sensitive to it. If it gets changed, I change it. If it doesn't get changed, it's part of the vocabulary. RG3 plays for the Redskins. I can't help that. You know, would I prefer that everybody be happy and satisfied with the name? Absolutely, whatever it is. Heck, I remember when the Washington Bullets played in the NBA and they wound up changing it. You know, the Capitol Bullets, the Washington Bullets, now the Washington Wizards, because they thought the Bullets was too offensive, not to a social group, but to the violence that was happening in this country. So the only thing I would say to Daniel Snyder, if the Washington Bullets or the Capitol Bullets could change their name to the Wizards, you could change your name from the Redskins to something else. I don't know what it is. I'm not giving you any suggestions. I'm just saying that there's another team in Washington in another pro sport that did make a change. So I don't want to hear from you that you can't make the change and that it's so ingrained in your fan base that they'll never get over a change. I'm not buying that. I'm not buying his reasons for not changing or the business aspect of it. Heck, the Wizards had Michael Jordan for a while. Do you think people went to those games? Do you think people spent money to see Michael Jordan? It wasn't about the name, the Bullets, or the Wizards. It was about the product on the field. So, again, I digress a little bit here for a couple of minutes. Our question today is still about the Giants starting offensive line on September 8th against the Detroit Lions. But in just answering some fans who have come up to me on the street, I'd have no problem with changing the Washington Redskins to something else. And furthermore, it's probably not such a bad idea. But for the moment, they are still the Redskins. And as an official NFL name, I do abide by it. I hope that explains it to you folks. And I hope it doesn't offend anybody. Because that's certainly not my intentions. But that's the name of that tune right there. 201-939-4513. Timothy from Jackson, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I got a question to you. After this disappointing 2013 season, will Jason Biafall bounce back and have the best season of his career? And who would like Lawrence Taylor in 86? He'll have the best defensive, be one of the best defensive players in the NFL. Have the rec saying the single season sack record with 23 sacks. Well,
first of all, you know, Michael Strahan did break LT's sack record a few years ago. So he'd have to be trying to target Michael. He would not be targeting LT if he were to get that high. Personally, Timothy, I think that JPP is going to have a good year. I don't think he's going to have a 16.5 sack season. I'm not sure that he's going to be the Pro Bowl JPP. I still need to see him in pads, making contact, getting after guys at regular speed. You know, what they're doing right now is flag football. Well, actually, they're off right now until the 21st of July. But what they did all summer and all spring early on was flag football. Now, he looks great. He's lost 15 pounds. He's down to 275, okay? He's as quick as a cat coming off the line. We all know that. And, yes, he looked like he would have had many, many, many sacks running around Charlie Brown during practice the last month. But they're in shorts and T-shirts. Charlie Brown is not one of the better left tackles in this league. And so I have to gauge that against what I'm really seeing. And I can't really tell you, other than it looks like he's pretty healthy. And he certainly looks like he's in better shape. Those are good things for the Giants. It sounds like he's in the right frame of mind as well. That's another good thing for the Giants. But does it all add up to JPP being the Pro Bowl JPP of a few years ago? I'm not ready to sell you that one yet. I'm really not. I do think he's going to be good. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets maybe 10 to 12 sacks. That wouldn't shock me. It is his contract year. You'd like to think he learned something from watching Akeem Nicks in his contract year, who did not perform well and allowed things to creep into his psyche, especially the injuries, to where he did not produce like he had in the past. And look at how much money it cost him. Now he's got a one-year contract with the Colts as opposed to a big-time multi-year deal with the Giants. So I'd like to believe that JPP saw that, will learn from that example, and will, in fact, play hard, play tough, play rugged, play like he's capable of, and then, you know what? We'll see what the numbers look like at the end of the season, and the Giants will then evaluate. That'd be the best-case scenario. In any event, 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. Is that the Antoine in Atlanta? You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Oh, hey. I got a couple of questions. My first one is... Okay, assuming that David Wilson will be cleared and he comes back, how do you think Andre Williams how many snaps would you see him getting? You know, assuming that David Wilson will be cleared and come back.
Well, here's the thing: if you're the Giants, you got a couple of things to keep in mind. First of all, even if David Wilson makes it back, what's his durability going to be like? The guy hasn't played football in a year, right? So just because he's on the active roster, and even if he's able to do some things during the preseason and training camp, do you think that physically he's going to be ready to take his full share of the load right away? I'd say probably not. I think he gets a small package and a small role, and they see how he does. And that's not to say that even if he gets in there first couple of games, or even the first game, that he's not going to get dinged and have to come out. And I'm not talking about his neck. God forbid. I don't want anything to happen to David Wilson's neck. I want this guy to be healthy for the rest of his life. And whether or not he plays football, to me, is immaterial because I like the guy. He's a good guy, a fun guy, a nice guy. You know, from the Giants' perspective, I hope he is a productive guy too. But I want David Wilson to be okay. I want nothing bad to happen to him. But let's just say he has a muscle pull or a muscle strain because he hasn't played football in a year and he has to sit out for a month or so. I mean, these are things that you have to think about if you're Tom Coughlin and you're trying to divvy up your running back core. So I guess my answer to you is this. I go into this right now. And by the way, David Wilson has to see the doctors again so they can check on his tests to see if the neck is in fact healed. He'll be doing that prior to the 21st of July. I don't know if they're going to wait till the day or two before exactly when that appointment is. I think it's the first day, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's coming to New York. If he's out of town, and I'm not sure if he did go out of town for a small vacation, I believe he's going to report to the team on July 21st and go through his physical then. And I believe that day they're going to check on the neck. I'm not 100% sure, but I think so. And then they'll tell him if he's cleared to practice the following day when they get out there for the first time. So we really don't know the answer to that part of it. So I'm going to say for the moment David Wilson's a wild card. If he doesn't get clearance, you're going to start Rashad Jennings. He'll play on first down and second down for sure, okay? I think you might see some of Peyton Hillis on third down because he's good at catching passes out of the backfield, and he's also good at pass protection and picking up the blitz. And then I also think that when you get into short yardage situations or when you're in the red zone or when you're down on the goal line, you're going to see some of Andre Williams. I think they're going to be very, very careful about sprinkling Williams in. It's going to be a kind of thing where they're going to give him a little bit to chew on. And if he shows he can do well, he may get a little more to chew on. And it may simply be a case of merit. How well does he do in terms of how many snaps he gets? I'm going to say right now, if David Wilson doesn't get cleared, Rashad Jennings gets about 18 touches a game. Hillis gets maybe 5. And Andre Williams gets maybe 3 or 4. That's what I'm going to say right about now. But I could see that mixture changing. So don't hold me to that. I know the folks on the message boards and the websites are now going to put that mathematical equation up, and they're going to want to string me up by my toes when it changes. Come on. Let's not go there. But the point is, Jennings is your primary back, but the other two guys are going to see time. They're going to have a role, and they're going to be worked in. How much will depend, A, on injuries to everybody in that backfield, and B, how well do they perform at their given roles early during the season? And that's really the best answer I can give you. I don't think Tom Coughlin right now could tell you himself exactly what that breakdown is going to be come opening day, or certainly a month into the season, because it's going to be fluid. But Andre Williams is going to get some touches. That I will promise you. He is not going to be one of these rookies who sits on the pines. Andre Williams will have a role. He will get touches. And provided he produces, he's going to continue to get touches all season long, and they may grow. In fact, I think they will grow because I think that much of him.
Oh, okay. I got one more question.
Sure.
How do you think Jonathan Hankins' season? How do you think he'll play this season?
Well, Jonathan Hankins, to me, and I like his potential a lot, and I know the Giants do too, but how he fits into this deal is a show-me deal. Because right now, you look at the defensive tackle spot, and there's a bunch of guys that they can throw into that rotation. And until they sort themselves out, whether it be Cullen Jenkins or Marcus Coon, or Jonathan Hankins, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Jay Bromley, they just drafted this year out of Syracuse in the third round. He's going to want to eject himself into that rotation as well. You got a bunch of guys there. And the truth is, I'm not even sure which defensive tackle is going to make this team, to be honest. I think that's going to be another great competition before you establish what your rotation is going to be. The other thing you have to remember as well is that the Giants like to slide JPP in there sometimes in the sub-package. They like to slide Mathias Kiwanuka in there sometimes in the sub-package. And so how these snaps all get divvied up is going to be determined sometimes by the scheme they're going to run that week, sometimes by the health of the guys. Mike Patterson's also part of this defensive tackle rotation right now. Is he going to make it or not? You know, there are a lot of factors involved. But I do believe that Jonathan Hankins is a legitimate prospect, a guy who's going to be productive in this league. And, yes, I think in a perfect world, he would see a lot of the snaps in the rotation. He would be one of the guys I would give more snaps to if he lives up to what he's supposed to be during the course of the preseason. But, again, as with the case of every young player, they've got to earn it. They've got to show Tom Coughlin that they deserve those snaps. He doesn't just give them out. Is that a satisfactory answer for you, or were you looking for more? I'm trying to be complete with you folks because, you know, I get accused sometimes of brushing guys off too fast. And I want to get to as many callers as I can, so I try to keep a good tempo, you know, kind of get that flow of the offense going. But then a lot of folks get on a message board and say, well, you didn't give him enough time. All right, I'm trying to give you a real complete answer today.
Oh, that was a fine answer.
All right, I'm glad you're happy.
Okay.
Have a great day.
All right.
Oh, you can't please everybody, Dan, right? I'm trying to have a little fun here today, but I'm also trying to be very, very lengthy in my explanations because I want to make sure that people know exactly what we're saying here. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. Paul Dottino with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live. The Giants open the preseason on August 3rd against the Buffalo Bills. It is a Sunday night game on NBC's Sunday Night Football. After their fifth preseason game, they will open the regular season on September the 8th on ESPN on Monday Night Football at the Detroit Lions. I'm going to take our question of the day one step further. Who's going to be the starting offensive line, not only against the Detroit Lions on week one of opening day of the regular season, but who do you think starts preseason week one against the Buffalo Bills? Because I'm going to tell you something. It's not going to be the same five. It will not be the same five. I guarantee you it will not be the same five offensive linemen who play against the Buffalo Bills opening night as the starting five that open against the Detroit Lions 1 month later. That is a lock. Take it to the bank. Call your insurance company. Tell them you're taking out another premium on that one because that's a lock. It will not be the same starting five who opened the Bills game who opened the Detroit Lions game. That will not happen. 201-939-4513 is our phone number at Big Blue Kickoff Live, or you can get us on the web at hashtag Giants Chat. Now let's get a look here and see what we got on the web. Oh, boy, we have Kiwani Lunis says, I say Andre Bradshaw, Andre Williams. I'm sorry, I misread that. Andre Williams. She's saying that he'll be the starting running back. I believe that's what this tweet means. We were talking about offensive linemen today, but I appreciate the fact that you're a big Andre Williams fan because eventually I think there's a good chance he will be a starting running back in this league for the Giants at some point down the road. You know, Rashad Jennings is not going to play forever, and he's already got a few years up on him. So let's keep going here. Let's see here. Giants War Room says it's going to be nearly impossible. Redskins won't do it. He's talking about the Redskins nickname. Mike Farmer, 20, says, how about the Washington Sweat Hogs? It sticks with part of their tradition. Oh, hey, Mr. Carter! You know, you young folks would have absolutely no idea what I just referred to. Vinnie Barbarino and Epstein and Horseshack and all those guys. Yeah, okay. Maybe watch TV Land. You might have a clue.
Okay, let's see. What else? Okay. No, nothing here that I can read. Oh, wait a minute. We do have another one I can read. The Real Jedi says, P-Dot, how about a shout-out to the Giants fans down under? Giants fans in Sydney, Australia. The Real Jedi. How about that? Well, hello. And I hope your weather is good, and I hope you're having a great summer and a great spring, and I hope you enjoy checking us out here on Big Blue Kickoff Live all the time. And I guess we're probably your best connection to Giants football. I don't know how much the NFL – I guess the NFL probably has a game of the week down there in Australia. I don't know how many times the Giants would be on, but I'm sure you guys down in Australia get an opportunity to see NFL games every week, probably one or two, I would think. Maybe if you have a dish, maybe you get more. And then I don't know what the online program is like internationally. Do people get games online, NFL internationally, like through the web? Can they do that? Can they purchase a package? I don't know, Dan. Maybe they can, maybe they can't. I've never lived overseas, so I don't know the answer to that. But in any event, it is real nice of the Real Jedi of Australia to send greetings from down under, and we send them right back to you. Now, let's see if we got one more internet message here before the phone calls get back onto the air. Love Big Blue Kickoff Live, says the Real Jedi. Oh, he's got Game Pass, Dan. The Real Jedi has Game Pass, which means he gets to check out the Giants every single week on the internet. That is good stuff, and I'm very, very glad to hear that. So stay with us all season long and all throughout the offseason as well. Let's go back to the phones. Ed from Houston, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Good morning, Paul. Happy Friday to you.
You too, my friend.
Hey, nobody's really – I was reading some stuff the other day. Pat Traina, is that the way you pronounce the last name?
Yeah, I know Pat. She works for the Bleacher Report. She's a nice lady.
Yeah, well, she had one on there the other day regarding the kickers. And supposedly they had talked to one of the coaches. I don't remember which one. But they had brought in another kicker. I think his name was McManus. Is that the other guy?
Yeah, there's a guy. There's a guy here who was taking some of the reps. Brandon McManus, originally out of Temple. He's a rookie, and they've been using him during the course of the spring and the summer to kind of alleviate some of the stress off of Josh Brown's leg. He's here basically for that reason only. I don't think Josh Brown is going to yield that job. Go ahead.
Now, the article was saying that the coaches were really high on him unexpectedly because supposedly he's an excellent long-range kicker, he's good in the cold, and that's what they're concerned about in the colder weather. And they said that he may make a serious challenge to Brown for a roster spot. And I was just curious if you've watched any of the kicking and to see if there's a possibility he may actually challenge him.
He's got a good leg. There is no question that kicking for Temple, he has kicked in some bad weather before. He's young. He's strong. They like him a lot, and I think he's a legitimate NFL kicking prospect. I will say that. Do I think he's going to beat out Josh Brown? No, I don't believe that, and I don't think the Giants believe that either. Now, at the same time, if McManus has a terrific training camp and Josh Brown comes up with some type of injury, some type of tweak, would they feel comfortable enough putting McManus into the lineup? I think they would. And I think that's what he's here for, to be honest with you. Because Josh Brown's been in this league a long time. As you know, he's in his second decade of kicking in the NFL. And when you start getting up there at age, you know, you get muscle pulls, you get strains, you get these different things that happen to you. So that's something, you know, they want to keep in mind. If Josh Brown should have to come out of the lineup, can they find a young guy who they could call on a moment's notice on their short list, so to speak, and have kick for the team? The other thing, as I said at the top, is that they want someone to alleviate some of the strain during the spring and summer so that McManus picks up some of that slack and keeps Brown healthy for the season. Let's face it, you don't want the kicker using all of his bullets during the all season.
Sure.
So it's a dual purpose. McManus is here for two reasons. And at the same time, okay, if the reports are good on him, he's helped himself. Because now, A, he's on the NFL radar because he's been in somebody's camp before. B, if he does well, he knows the Giants will keep him in mind if they need a kicker in an emergency. And C, He also knows now that he's put a body of work together, especially if he gets into a preseason game, and I'm sure they'll give him a couple of shots, to where other teams around the league, you know, may, if they get to a spot, hey, what about that guy? So it's an all good. It's a win for everybody. But I think if you ask McManus himself, I don't think, you know, push comes to shove, he's going to tell you, I'm here to take Josh Brown's job. I don't think he's foolish enough to think that. This is all about enhancing his opportunities and his positioning. This isn't necessarily about grabbing a job right now.
Well, if he has, I realize he doesn't have the experience that Brown has, but how old is Brown? Is he about 34, 35?
Josh Brown is in the league a dozen years, so what would that put him at? That would put him at 35, right? 35, I think.
Yeah, you think at 35 that this other kid, if he's got a real strong leg, that especially in the cold weather when the air's a little bit heavier, ball doesn't travel as far. The Vikings drafted a guy about 3 years ago, and he's got a cannon for a leg. And it just seems that the Giants typically rely more on the older guys, like they did with Tynes. And then they went with Brown, guys in their 30s. And I'm just curious why they never really invested any, either a late-round draft choice or the possibility of McManus, even though he doesn't have the experience, he may have a longer leg life and a longer leg in general, and I would think that might help him.
Tom Coughlin in particular does prefer to lean towards veteran kickers. You'll remember a guy named Markham.
Don't bring it.
You remember Markham?
Oh. I thought you were going to bring up that punter.
No. We're not talking punters. You're talking place kickers here. Do you remember?
Yes, yes.
I believe his name was John Markham. And for some reason, I'm missing on his first name. But Markham was a place kicker the Giants drafted in the middle rounds some years ago when Ernie Accorsi was here. And he was absolutely dreadful. He got to training camp, and he was really, really, really bad. The Giants prefer, and it's Tom Coughlin's preference as well. It's not just the organization's preference, but it's the coach's preference as well to go with the veterans. That's why you remember when they had John Carney here a few years ago. And, of course, Carney made the Pro Bowl that season. You know, and he was older than dirt. You know, that's the way the Giants like to go. And, you know, look at Josh Brown's numbers this past season, by the way. And I just called them up to make sure here because I don't want to talk out of the side of my head if I'm not being accurate. Josh Brown's average kickoff was 64 yards per kickoff, which, by the way, is his career average. 64.1 is his career average, and he averaged 64 yards this past season. So that says to
there's
me...
no erosion.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's exactly what it says to me. There's no erosion there. He's at what his career level is, despite the fact that he's playing in the Northeast, in the Meadowlands, with some wins, with some potentially nasty weather in November and December, although, you know, it didn't get really, really bad until January and February here. But that says to me that, okay, you know what? He's not really losing much in terms of leg strength yet. So I wouldn't be concerned about that, and I certainly don't think the Giants have the luxury of keeping two kickers. I wouldn't.
Okay.
Heck, I don't think they got the luxury to keep three quarterbacks. I'm not keeping two kickers.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see what happens there as well as at the tight ends with three quarterbacks last year and four tight ends. That was a lot of wasted space.
I hear you, my friend. Thank you for the call.
All right, Paul, you have a good weekend.
You too. Please call back another time.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
201-939-4513. Mario from Connecticut. Looks like you want to talk about our question of the day. Who's the Giants' starting offensive line against the Detroit Lions opening day?
Hey, Paul, it's actually Marco from Connecticut.
Marco, I apologize. Go ahead, sir.
No problem, Paulie Dots. No problem. I wanted to talk to you, about this offensive line. I'm not as confident going into this training camp about our offensive line. I think it's really going to take up to the first game of the year to figure out where we stand. This is what I have, because you brought out the question of first preseason game and then the first regular season game. The first preseason game, I don't think Beattie or Snee, and I'll get back to Snee in a second, I don't think Beattie even sniffs the field on that first preseason game. So I have it as Charlie Brown as your left tackle, Jeff Schwartz left guard, J.D. Walton at center, but also since our preseason is starting a little bit earlier, I'm putting an asterisk next to Walton. And then next to Walton, I say we have either Weston Richburg or Brandon Mosley. I'm going to say Richburg. And then next to Richburg is Pugh.
Okay. Now, this is for the Bills game, right? For the Bills game.
That is for the Hall of Fame game. What do you think about that, Paul?
I will tell you what. I think that is a very, very likely scenario. In fact, if I had to put my chips on red or black, I would go with the starting five that you just mentioned right there.
Okay. And now leading into the regular season, I think
I will tell you this, though, before I let you go on, I would add one small asterisk here. If one of those five would change, Brandon Mosley at right guard over Richburg might be the only one that would give me trepidation.
Okay.
But I do think your starting five against the Bills is accurate, but I would not be shocked if Mosley has a good camp, if they give him the first shot against the Bills. But I do think that the door is open for Richburg to take it.
Okay. All right. I agree with that. Now, going into the regular season now, things are going to change a little bit.
Yes, they are.
I think Schwartz and Pugh, since they're the most dependable linemen, the best linemen we have right now that are healthy and all things aside, I think they stay exactly where they are. Schwartz at left guard, Pugh at right tackle.
Yep.
Now here's what we do, and I'll take your comments about this also. Chris Snee, I think what they're going to do with Snee is they're going to, even if Snee's feeling great, and I know he's lost weight, and I think they're going to get
gained weight. He's gained weight.
My understanding was he lost weight to take some pressure off the hip.
He went down to 275 last season. He's back up to 300 now. And as of last week, he said he expects to be playing at 310 once the season gets underway.
That's right. He said it was a healthy 300.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then this is what I think about Snee. I think last year we tried to really roll the dice on that offensive line to sneak one more year out of that group, and it backfired. Now, I think this year they're really looking at Snee in the same situation, saying we need to get one more year out of him. So let's get him to the best point possible before Detroit. And it's almost going to be like a John Beeson situation. We're going to bring him in late. Beeson obviously has an injury. So I think going into Detroit, Snee will start at right guard because he'll be ready after a fresh camp. So I have Pugh at right tackle, Snee at right guard, Walton at center, Schwartz at left guard, and you know, I don't know why I don't have BD there, but I still have Charlie Brown there. I guess because I don't really know BD's health right now. He's been so vague about it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I understand the logic behind all five of you guys. Chris Snee's an interesting case because the other day on WFAN, GM Jerry Reese said in the next couple of weeks we're going to find out more about what Chris Snee is going to have to do. Apparently, his elbow flared up on him a couple of weeks ago. And that's the bigger problem right now. The hip is fine, but the elbow seems to be causing him some difficulties. And that's why he didn't work out the last several weeks of the spring. He, in fact, did not participate in the OTAs because of an elbow situation. Now, if that thing does not come along, then I would tell you there's a chance, and this is not coming from the Giants. This is coming from me, okay? P-Dot, Paul Dottino. This is not coming from Jerry Reese or Tom Coughlin. I think there is a chance that Snee starts the season on PUP. I think there is a chance, a bigger chance, that Will Beatty starts the season on PUP. Beatty is battling back from a very serious leg injury. And so, if that's the case, then I would have to disagree with two of your five. And again, I'm not doing this to be antagonistic. I'm just trying to play it out for you. Where you would have to pick a new right guard, and it's going to wind up being then, I believe, that battle we talked about between Richburg and Brandon Mosley. Okay? And at left tackle, you now got to figure out, are you going to be comfortable enough after watching the likes of Charlie Brown and James Brewer fight during the preseason of going with one of those guys, or Are you going to try to sign somebody by that point? Now, if they're in the middle of training camp, let's say Beattie's still not available and he's going to be headed to PUP. Again, I'm going to go worst-case scenario here. What do you do? I don't think either Brown or Brewer are going to step up to the degree that the Giants feel comfortable with either one of them starting opening day. So I think they're going to start looking. In fact, they've already got their binoculars out for a left tackle if they can find one. Eric Winston is still out there. I'm not a big fan of McKinney. I think he's shot. I don't think he's got anything left. But I would certainly sign Eric Winston pretty quickly. Once they get into training camp, if they can figure out within a week or two, even before that Buffalo game, or maybe you want to wait till after the Buffalo game and say, hey, we don't have the answer here. If Eric Winston's still out there, I'd make a phone call. The other thing you got to remember is there could still be somebody cut. Some veteran still make a cut free who knows what he's doing and who's got some juice left. I don't have a lot of confidence right now in either Brown or Brewer to hold down that spot if Beattie can't go. So worst case scenario is I think right now you might even have a mystery guy starting at left tackle in week one against the Lions. I think that is a possibility and a worst case scenario. Now, Pat Flaherty, and bear with me here for 1 second, Marco. Pat Flaherty says that the Giants do not want to move Pugh to left tackle. A lot of folks are thinking that may be an option. I think, quite frankly, it might be option D. But Coach Flaherty says we really don't want to do that. We're not planning to do that. We really want to keep Pugh at right tackle. We think he's going to be really good there. We want to keep him there. I could appreciate that, but sometimes, what do they say about desperation being the mother of invention? I'd say choice D, the last resort, would be to flop Pugh over to left tackle and then plug in whoever over at right tackle. So it does cause a very complex and interesting dilemma if the Giants are forced to make moves because of medical issues. But I love your logic. I like your starting five against the Bills. I like your starting five against the Lions, provided Snee is able to go, and provided Charlie Brown is able to show that he can hold up. I just don't know that I could gamble on that right now.
Paul, if you can't keep me on just a minute, because you bring up a few good points. I'm very concerned now about this Snee and Beattie situation. Actually, more for Beattie. I agree. Now you definitely don't move Pugh over, because if Richburg, let's just say Richburg is the starter by the end of camp on that the right guard spot, you could hide him there. Not, I don't mean hide him because he's – I hide him because he's a rookie. And put him between Walton and Pugh, and I think you're okay there. But the big problem now is left tackle. And it would have been a problem even if Beattie was out there, because we don't know what we're getting. I called John last week. And I asked, and I talked to him about Eric Winston, just something that I thought about. And he said, Paul Dottino, he said that Winston is a Dottino guy. So this is what I'm thinking about Eric Winston. I've read this in a couple different places, and maybe you want to go and check into this. The reason why Winston is on the market, he's been left out on the market a couple times with teams that he's been released. He's a good player, but he has a high role, from what I've read, with the Players Union.
He does.
And sometimes teams are a little reluctant to bring him in. I don't know if it's a conflict of interest or what type of personality he is, but that's what I've read. So maybe, you know, take it for whatever it's worth.
I would suspect, and I don't know this, Marco, I did reach out to Eric Winston's agent a couple of weeks back because I thought this was a curious scenario that I wanted to pursue. And I never got a response. And I don't think it's as much the union thing with the Giants, although I do think it is with some teams around the league. I think the problem with the Giants is that they look at him as an older player, and I think that Jerry Reese really wants to see if Brown or Brewer are capable of stepping up. I think he wants to give them that opportunity during training camp and the preseason. I also think he is still very hopeful that Beattie can medically make it back. So those are three guys who, in his own mind, he's hoping that one of them are able to do what he needs them to do so that he doesn't have to make that call. And then I think the other thing that's inhibiting the Giants from making that call is that Winston, I think, is going to want a decent buck. He's an accomplished offensive tackle in this league. He's played mostly right tackle. He's played very little left. I think he can do it, but he's played mostly right tackle in the NFL. And I also think he's looking for some money. And you know what? Sometimes the prices just don't match up with what he wants and what you're willing to pay. So that could be part of it, too. I will tell you this. I will tell you this. The Giants have paraded a bunch of offensive tackles off the street through these front doors over the last month or so as they went through OTAs and through the mini camp process. That tells you they are on the prowl. So make no mistake about it. They're aware that the situation is kind of tedious, and they are constantly looking and trying to feel their way through it. If they can get a fortification at that spot, I think they will. But they want to be sure before they make a move like that. I appreciate the call, Marco.
Hey, take care, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you so much. See, now that was the best call so far of the day because it was not only topical to our question about who the starting offensive linemen are going to be for both the preseason opener and the regular season opener, but the other thing was we really got into it. We got into the nitty-gritty. We peeled back the layers of the onion, and we discussed all of the reasons why this works, that works, this doesn't work, and that doesn't work. It is a very complicated scenario. And one domino makes the whole line look different. If you got to move Pugh, if you worry about, well, what if Walton can't play center? What if, we didn't even talk about that really during that call, but what if Walton's ankle doesn't hold up and he can't play center? Well, now Richburg is going to play center. Now, I think he could do it. I said opening the night of the draft, he's going to challenge for a starting job. He's that good. They love him. And he could definitely handle the job. But now that would take him out of the right guard mix. So now you better hope that Snead's healthy or Mosley steps up because you can't put Richburg at right guard and center. Can't play both spots. Len from Columbia, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello, Len.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
I'm well,
how
man.
You doing?
I am
good,
jacked
good.
Up. Can you tell?
Yeah. It's a great show this morning.
Thank
great
you.
Show and a good question, which, topic of the day, which I'd like to get to in just a second. But, you know, if Mr. McManus, the kicker, goes on to have a long and illustrious career, especially if it's illustrious, I want it to be with the Giants.
You remember Olindo Mare? You remember Mare?
You know.
Right?
You know. Yeah.
And he was here for a year on the practice squad, and they didn't have room, and so he got picked up by the Dolphins and, of course, went on to kick for many years in the NFL.
That's right.
Those things are going to happen. All right?
Yeah.
What you care about is whoever's here kicking for the Giants puts the ball through the uprights. It doesn't matter what his name is.
Right. And I think the way Tom looks at it, he has to make a judgment early December, wind blowing in the Meadowlands, maybe some snow flurries. Can we make a kick in the final 4 minutes from 40 yards out? And, that's what coaches get paid a lot of money for. And they have to make judgments like that about somebody who can do that. But the point I wanted to make about McManus and the special teams coach, you know, very rarely, Paul, does a coach say anything bad if asked the question about somebody on the 90-man roster. I mean, not just with the Giants, but all around the league. They're going to come up with something positive, Paul.
Well, what do you want them to do? These guys
well,
are here. They're working
go.
With them. They're living with them.
There
they're in training camp with them. And quite frankly, and I mean this, and I'm not being wise to you, you don't know if during the course of training camp, if you're going to have injuries or something else happen to
sure.
one of your guys ahead of that guy, and all of a sudden the guy who's fifth on the depth chart becomes somebody you need to lean on. So why would you not be nice to him?
Well, and say something nice about him. But also, in you look out week 8, week 10, Josh Brown pulls a hamstring and you're looking for a kicker. So these guys are kind of on display here, not only for the team that they're signed with, but there are other teams watching as well.
Well, you know, the one internet comment that I have here, and I want to just throw this in for 1 second, Len.
Okay.
Will, who is Spain Man 1991, says, I heard that McManus gave Vinatieri a good challenge last year with the Colts. It is true. He is, in effect, a second-year rookie because he was a rookie last year, and the Colts had him in camp. And, in fact, he did kick well. I remember that. But take this into account now. Lucas Oil Stadium is inside. So
here you go.
So I appreciate that he had a real good camp with the Colts. That's not MetLife Stadium.
That's right. And they're also playing. You know, add the 8 home games to games in Houston, Jacksonville, and Nashville, and you're kicking in some pretty good weather.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're the kicker with the Colts.
You know, again, he kicked at Temple and he did well at Temple, and so you know that's good stuff because you know he had to kick in some bad weather down there for sure.
Right.
But at the same time, people don't get too excited about this guy. Again, I think he's got an NFL leg from what I've seen.
Yeah.
I think he does. But Josh Brown had a good year last year. I mean, I would not be looking to get rid of this guy.
Paul, the last time I heard anybody say anything bad about somebody who was in their camp, I'm going to take you back in time because you'll remember Larry Jacobson, a defensive end number one pick. And yeah. This is back in the days when, you know, there was the college all-star game.
Oh, yeah.
Where the college all-stars used to play the NFL. We're back in the 60s now, maybe early 70s, but I think it's really in the 60s. But Willie Davis, who was coaching the college all-stars that year, made a comment about Jacobson, who was on that roster to play. I forget who they were playing that year. Maybe the Bears. I'm not sure. But made a comment about the fact that Larry Jacobson will never be an NFL player. He's just not good enough. Said it out to reporters. And I remember Wellington Mara really getting upset at Davis saying something like that that it was his draft choice. Just, you know, a young kid trying to make a living, you know, trying to live out a dream, trying to make a living. Why would you do that?
Yeah, that's not a nice thing to do.
It's essentially what Mr. Mara was saying. But, you know, these guys, they're not going to say anything bad about these kids. I mean, they're going to try to keep it positive anyway. All right, starting offensive line, Paul.
Quickly, Len, because I do have two other callers on hold.
Okay, all right, real quick, and let me just say this. I think it's going to be, it's not what I want it to be, but this is what I think it will be. I want it to be it's going to be the same offensive line, Paul. Against the Bills and on starting, against the Lions. We're going to see Charlie Brown. We're going to see Schwartz. We're going to see Walton. We're going to see Mosley. And we're going to see Pugh. And I believe that will be the starting lineup in the, for both ends, for the opening, for the preseason game and the opening game of the season. I hope Snee is going to be there, but I just don't feel it, and I'm not an orthopedic surgeon, but somebody says broken leg, forget whether or not there's knee or foot injuries related to it. To me, Paul, broken leg, in a professional athlete, you don't come back 7-8 months later.
The only thing I'll say about Beattie's situation with the leg, and I know it was a little bit different, but Richie Seibert came back and was as scrappy as ever and was as effective as ever. And, look, he had even a worse leg injury than Will Beattie did.
Oh, yes.
That's not to compare that Beattie's going to come back to the degree that Richie did. But when I saw Richie do what he did, I had renewed faith in medicine and in football players and said, look, if Richie Seibert can come back from that and not only make the team but start, wow. That said to me, I can never discount anybody.
Paul, you may be talking about a different mental makeup between those two.
Well,
players.
I don't think there's any question because Richie was a scrapper.
Do you want to go to the Redskins' name or you want to go on with your call?
Len, I got to move, but I appreciate it. And again,
have a great weekend.
But I want you to remember what you said to me about the starting five because I'm telling
you,
the starting
absolutely.
Five against the Bills and the Lions will not be the same.
Listen,
they will
Paul,
not.
If I say it, I stick with it, Paul.
So do I. You know me better than that. It'd be good.
Okay. See you. Thank you.
Thanks, Len. Good call, and I know Len will call us back. And you know what? If he's right and he's right, then that's good because he's right. And if I'm wrong, that's all right too. Nana from Georgia. Okay, I got Nana, and then I got Richard on the line to be the last caller. So, Nana, you're next to last on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to talk about the Giants wide receiving core.
Yes.
I wanted to see who do you think will win the number 2 wide receiver spot?
Well, I think that you're going to look at Cruz and you're going to look at Randall as your starting 2. And then after that, provided you know, that Odell Beckham is okay. I mean, he's been nursing a bit of a hammy in the offseason, but I'm going to assume he's fine. So he would be the three. And then you got to figure out who's going to be your four and your five. Is it going to be Manningham? Is he okay after his knee injury? He says he's going to be back during the preseason. If he can go, then he's your four. But then who's your five? Is it going to be Jarrell Jernigan? Is it going to be Trenton Holiday? Is it going to be somebody else? That, to me, is the real battle. The backup receiving spots, the depth chart at wide receiver is going to be very cloudy on the back end. I think the starting two are Cruz and Randall. To me, that's a given. I don't think there's going to be any changes there.
Okay, so do you think that Randall will be able to step up and have a better year than he did last year?
He needs to. Look, he showed that he could be a better player last season, but he still needs to be better. You know when a baby starts to crawl and he climbs up a couple of stairs, and then eventually he starts to walk, and then he's able to walk up a couple of stairs. Maybe he can't get to the top right away, to the second floor, but he's able to take two or three or four steps, and then you kind of have to pick him up and walk him up to the second floor. Well, that's kind of where Reuben Randall was last year. He needed some help to get to the second floor. This year, Reuben Randall needs to get to the second floor by himself. He needs to be able to stand on his own two feet and walk to the second floor. He can't have miscommunications with the wide receiver or with the quarterback. He's got to be able to run the right routes, get to the spot he's going to get to, fight for the ball, come down with the completion, first down Giants. That's what you need to see. You don't need to see him running the wrong way.
Yeah, and with you saying that, that brings me to my next statement. I wanted to say that I feel like he's kind of very immature because, you know, he didn't have the best season last year. And then when Manning held that camp with his wide receivers, I just didn't understand why he wasn't there.
Yeah.
But he was at LSU's pro day.
I'm gonna let you go. I appreciate what you're saying. I'm not avoiding your question. He was asked that. He said he had scheduling things. Whatever the case may be, he was not there to throw with Eli. I agree with you. I would have preferred that he had been. The only good thing about him being at LSU, whenever that was, and I don't remember him saying that, but if he was, hey, at least he got to work with Beckham a little bit more. And, of course, he and Beckham were teammates at LSU, and I would hope that between the two of them here, that will be a little bit of a friendly competition. That these guys are going to be jabbing each other. Hey, man, come on, Tiger, let's go. I got a touchdown. You got to get one, too. I'd like to think that they could push each other some. That's the hope we're going to have to see. Nana, you got to go because I got Richard from Florida, who's going to be our last caller today on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Oh, hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. I'm trying to understand, Paul, why the Giants did not select Zach Martin with the first pick.
You and me both.
I don't understand it at all. Now we're going to have to face Zach Martin and DeMarco Murray from Dallas.
Here's the problem. Here's
It would have opened up the pass, and also opened up the passing game.
We have spoken quite a lot in the last few months about this offensive line, specifically the troubles at left tackle. And again, this morning we have addressed the problems that the Giants may or may not have at left tackle. Part of it is medically related to Will Beatty's leg. If the Giants had drafted Zach Martin, they would not be worried about any of this right now.
I agree.
They would know that Zach Martin has the capability of playing anywhere along that line, including left tackle, if they needed him to be out there. But that's not the case. The good news is they got an offensive lineman in the second round. I know he's an interior guy, but Richburg is going to be a real good player here for a lot of years. He was an excellent acquisition, and I applaud that. But they still have doubts at left tackle. And if that position, okay, I'm going to make something very clear to you. If that position does not take care of itself during the course of this season, it will be the Achilles heel that could force the Giants to miss the playoffs.
I agree, totally. With what you said, I'm in total agreement.
But
and imagine if we would have had Zach Martin, what our running game would have been like. We would have been so dominant. The safeties would have to come in. They would have to put eight in the box. It would open up the passing game. Not to take anything away from Odell Beckham. He's a terrific player, but I think it was the wrong choice. at this time.
Again, it comes down to what is your comfort zone with the potential solutions at each one of the offensive line positions. And I have to admit, Richburg, again, is good enough where he could compete for a starting job at either center or right guard. And I love the fact that they got a swing guy in there that they can plug in, and not only plug in, but I think is capable of becoming a first-year starter and lasting a long time. Richburg is a good, good pick and a good, good player and a legit prospect. So I give the Giants plaudits for at least addressing the offensive line there. But I agree with you that I still have trepidation about left tackle. And you know what, my friend? Here's the bottom line. If one of those guys, either Brown or Brewer or Will Beatty coming off of his injury, emerges and does an adequate job, then you know what? You and I are going to be sitting here in December talking about who the Giants might be playing in the playoffs. Hopefully it works out that way. I don't know that it will. I don't know that it will. But I will tell you this. This Giants team is better in a lot of areas this year.
Oh, right? Definitely. That
left tackle's not one of them.
Right. I agree. Totally.
Thanks, Richard. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Well, that'll do it for this morning's show here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Write down the number 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. We are here Monday to Friday every week except next week. Friday's the whole July 4th weekend thing, right? So I don't think we're going to be here, are we? Is that right? Did I just screw up and say something I shouldn't have said? July 4th is a what? Is it a Friday? It is a Friday. We're not here that day, Dan. They told me to take that day off. Some people want me to take every day off. but we are here usually, barring a holiday, Monday to Friday at Giants.com, 201-939-4513 on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Again, Monday's question, so you can ponder this over the weekend, is what do you want to do with the Giants kick return game? Who should be the starter? Who should be returning kicks? Who should be returning punts? How do you want that whole thing to shake down? Who do you want to see try in the preseason? Who do you think the candidates should be? That's an interesting question, too. In any event, that'll do it for this morning's show. I'm Paul Dottino. So long, everybody.